Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Amen, amen. That was a beautiful song, brothers and sisters. I'll say the words if you can hear it that well. But good evening, each and every one of you. I just want to welcome you this evening to Advent Light Ministry Prayer Line. And this is Sister Carla, and I am your host. Happy Preparation Day and happy Sabbath. It is right here, even at the door. Amen? So God is truly worthy to be praised. As the title of the song was, I Gave My Life for Thee. And it says, I gave my life for thee, my precious blood I shed, that thou might ransom me and quicken from the dead. I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? And it repeated twice. The second line, my Father's house of light, my glory cherished throne, I left for earthly night, for wandering, sad and lone. I left it all for thee. What hast thou ought for me? And third standards is, I suffered much for thee, more than my tongue can tell, of bitterness, agony, to rescue thee from hell. I've borne it all for thee. What hast thou borne for me? And this is a song as if Christ is speaking to each and every one of us, asking us, what have we done for him? So we have to search our heart. We have to, you know, speak to the Lord, you know, have that one-on-one, talk with him and, you know, and just talk to him as we do our earthly family and friend. Amen. So we're going to start with a word of prayer. Let us pray. Kind and loving Father, we thank you ever so much for this holy day of rest that you have set aside for each and every one of us, oh Father. This Sabbath is not only for the Jew, but it's for mankind. You have made each and every one of us, and the Sabbath was made before us, Father. And after us, oh Father, because you rested on the seventh day. And that was a sign. That was for the Adam and Eve. That was to show them to rest, oh Father. Help us, oh Lord, to continue to seek you and to rest from our worldly cares, oh Lord, to come before you with thanksgiving, with praise, and just thank you for creating us. Selfish, we're nothing. We're hopeless. We're miserable, blind, and poor, Lord. But you saw it fit that you should create a people for a time such as this, O Lord. And you said you will use the weakest ones to proclaim the gospel and finish the work. Help us to be a part of that group. Help us to be a part of the 144,000, O Father, as we come together and we worship and as we study and as we praise you. We ask that you will be in the midst of us, that your Holy Spirit will fall afresh on us this evening, O Lord. We ask that you will bless the speaker in a marked way, Lord. Touch him from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. Bless his family, his wife, and his son, and his mother, and siblings, oh Father, and also his father. We thank you ever so much for all that you are doing within our life, within our home, oh Lord. You're calling us for a closer walk with thee, Lord. Please help us to be obedient. Help us to be thankful and grateful at all times, because we don't know the time or the hour of your appearing or of our departing from this earth. We ask that you will bless us again. In Jesus' mighty name we pray with honor and thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. Again, happy Sabbath, brothers and sisters. I'm glad that you can join us this evening right here on Advent Light Ministry Prayer Line. As we know, where there's two or three gathered, we know the Lord is in the midst, and as we're waiting for our other brothers and sisters to join us, we will continue because angels are with us, and they're surrounding us as we share, as we come together, and we talk of the goodness of God, as we pray, as we intercede on the behalf of our family, our friends, it's a blessing. It's truly a blessing to have an outlet to reach people throughout the world. And I just want to welcome those that are joining us via broadcast on the internet, those that are in Japan, those that are in South Korea, those that are in the Netherlands, those that are in Canada, throughout the world. I just want to welcome each and every one of you. May God richly bless you as you listen in, and may you share this link with others so that they can hear the message, so that they can receive this special blessing. Amen. So I will open Sister Leola's line so she can give us the Ten Commandments. We know the Ten Commandments was given to us, and the greatest is the two. Ten becomes two, love for God and love for our neighbors. So I'm going to open Sister Leola's line so that she can read the Ten Commandments to us. And especially the fourth one, it said remember. So there's a blessing in remembrance of the fourth commandment, which is the holy day of rest, the Sabbath day. So I'll open Sister Leola's line. Good evening, and thank you for joining us. Sister Leola, your line is open.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Exodus chapter 20, starting at verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall thy labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God, and it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy maidservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy strangers that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all them that in them, all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor. Amen.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Leola, for reading. And I will close your line. And when you're ready to share, you can press 1, or unless you wanted to share now. Did you want to share now, Sister Leola, or you want me to, you'll share later?
Yes, I want to share now. You know, as I was reading, Sister Leola, I want to read Ezekiel chapter 20:20, and this prophecy that God gave to his people, we are to study this. So let me read. I love this. I'm starting to think and praise God for this chapter. And, you know, that's what make me keep God's Sabbath and be ready. He said, chapter Ezekiel chapter 20 and verse 20. And it's called 2020. You know, when they say you have 2020 vision, your vision is perfect. So I will read Ezekiel chapter 20 and verse 20. And hallow my that they shall be a sign between me and you, that ye may know that I am the Lord your God. So when I think of this Sabbath that God tells us to keep holy, we have entered into a holy day, brothers and sisters, and this day doesn't belong to anyone, but this is our Creator, Holy Sabbath, and we are to step in it, and we are to be in it as children of God and keeping his Sabbath holy, because this is the test, and this test will come a day that we're going to have to be perfect in this. So I just want to thank God for reading it, and I want to thank God for him teaching me, and I'm thanking him also for doing it, because, you know, sisters and brothers, if it wasn't for God, I would not be able to keep the Sabbath. I cannot do it myself. But when he says, be obedient, and then you will eat the good of the land, all about being obedient. So thank you, Sister Carla, for opening my line, and may God bless everyone, and happy Sabbath. Amen.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Leola. Amen. Thank you for sharing. We know the Sabbath is a special day. We all should be looking forward to it each and every Sabbath. And the fourth commandment is very special, is dear to God's heart, because it is time when his people, they come, you know, to him from all their worries and all their pains, their trials, and they laid at his feet more so. And they spend time with family at that time also, because many of the fathers, they're so busy, or mothers, they're so busy throughout the week working, and they barely have time for family. But the Sabbath is a special day that all should come together to worship God and to be reunited. And we know in heaven, we will be keeping the Sabbath. Amen. As again, Exodus chapter 20, start from verse 8, it says, remember. So we cannot forget. We have to remember, even meditate upon it, or bind it within our mind, being able to to have it in our mind so that we won't even have to read it. We should be able to just recite it. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days, as we are now, 6 days the Lord gave us, brothers and sisters, to do all our work. 6 days, that's more than plenty. He gave us 6 days. He just asked for one. Is that so hard for him? He'll ask for one, and for us to be not to give him one? I mean, all 7 days we should be worshiping the Lord, but the 6 days he gave us to do, tend to our gardens, whatever we need to do, our job, you know, help others. But the 1 day, the 7 day, he asked for it to be wholly set aside for him, to worship him, and to meditate upon his word. And this is a blessing, because this is for us too, to remember the Lord, remember his word, to dive into the word, to eat of the word. So it's such a blessing. Is there anyone else who would like to share? Please press 1 so that I can open your line. Again, happy Sabbath, brothers and sisters, and I just want to welcome each and every one of you to Advent Light Ministry. It's truly a blessing to be on the prayer line. I'm a little under the weather, so my voice might sound a little different, but I just thank the Lord for still keeping me, and he has kept me thus far, and I just thank him for showing me where I went wrong with me getting sick, intemperance. It's usually a reason for getting a cold or getting sick is intemperance. So I just thank the Lord for showing me that, and for showing me that my immune system was low. I haven't been doing my regular protocol, because at least twice a month, or once a week I will be taking oregano oil, sage, and different things. But I have not been doing that for 2 months, basically. So, and my immune system was low because he showed me that last week, but I did not know. I was cold, you know, last week. And it means that my immune system was low. And I was drinking my green juice, but yet there were other things that I needed to do. Of course, we have to adhere to the 8 laws of health. I was starting to drink a lot of water. My rest probably was not on point, but I just thank the Lord for his love for me and each and every one of you. And I will read this quote from Child Guidance. Child Guidance. I love this quote. Starting at page 535.3. It said, make the Sabbath a delight. All who love God should do what they can to make the Sabbath a delight. Holy and honorable. They cannot do this by seeking their own pleasure in sinful, forbidden amusement. Yet, they can do much to exalt the Sabbath in their family and make it the most interesting day of the week. Amen. We should devote time, interest our children. A change will have a happy influence upon them. We can walk out with them in the open air. We can sit with them in the grove and in the bright sunshine and give their restless mind something to feed upon by conversing with them upon the work of God, and can inspire them with love and reverence by calling their attention to the beautiful object in nature. What a blessing. There's so much beautiful objects in nature, the flowers, the birds. There's so many things, the different trees and the smell of them, and also the gardeners. I was out this week planting my garden and buying trees and just being able to dig the hole and put them in. It was just a blessing, and I'm getting my exercise, and I'm also doing these things to be able to have food when there's no food, when we cannot buy ourselves. So I just thank the Lord for his blessing. I thank him for all that he has given us, all that he has provided. We have no need of anything, brothers and sisters. If we seek the Lord, he has provided everything for us. And each thing supplies the needs of another. And it is only human that we are so selfish that we tend not to help each other or, you know, do what God has asked us to do. But when, you know, we have to repent of that, when we know that or when we see that, and when others do that to us, we have to pray for them and intercede for them. Brothers and sisters, again, please press 1 if you would like to share. Brother Justin will be speaking, and we want enough time for him to be able to speak. So if it's after 8 o'clock, we will stop the testimony, prayer requests, and go into prayer. And you can give your testimony or prayer request either Sunday evening, which is last day event, or Thursday, the Health Reform Thursday. So please press 1 if you would like to share at this time. We're allotting 3 minutes to share, so everyone can get a chance to share that would like to share, brothers and sisters. I'm sure the Lord has done something for you this week thus far. So please press 1 if you would like to share and tell of the goodness of God, even in your family, you know, your neighborhood. How has the Lord blessed you this week? What have he shown you? What have he done for you? Amen. So I will go to the first caller that has pressed 1-518-482. Happy Sabbath. Your line is now open.
Happy Sabbath. Thank you, Sister Carla, for opening my line. Happy Sabbath to one and all. I am just happy to be here. Just happy and thankful that I'm alive. And I'm kicking. Everything is looking good with me so far that I can see. And I just want to thank God for his blessings on not only me, but on all of us who are here on this line. One question I would like us to ask is, and we know the answer. Did Christ break the Sabbath? We know Christ did not break the Sabbath, right? Because what he did on the Sabbath, he healed the sick, right? He healed those who were those who were oppressed, and he did all works of healing and on the Sabbath. So he did not break the Sabbath. And while they were going through the cornfield, if you remember that, another story, they broke the corn and they ate. So he did not break the Sabbath. He said he came to make the Sabbath honorable. And thank God for the Sabbath. I thank God every day for the Sabbath because I look forward to that day, not only physical rest, but spiritual rest, opening God's word and trying to learn something and to help somebody to understand more of Christ, because that's what should be all of our aim, to help others to know God's word, right? So he also restored the guy who was sick with paralytic. He stopped. He said, take up your bed and walk. And that was on a Sabbath, right? Jesus was, he was lost in the crowd, but he went there and he picked out that man and he healed him. And he heard the way the man was very happy. He knew that God, he knew that Jesus didn't know him. So he was frightened. So he hurried on his way. He went away praising God and rejoicing in his newfound strength. He got up and he was, the scripture says he was walking and leaping and praising God. So he was very thankful that God had healed him. So I could say, and we all know, Christ did not break the Sabbath. He do good on the Sabbath. So it is good to go on the Sabbath, visit the sick, help those who are, you know, who cannot help themselves. You could go and give some Bible study. That is what we used to do. Go and give some Bible studies. Go into homes and pray for the sick. You used to go to the hospital and pray for people who need prayers. And when you're sick, people really do not refuse prayer because they need prayer. And that is a very good thing, but now we cannot go into the hospital, but we could go to other places and we could find other ways to go and help people and to tell them about Jesus, okay? So that is one way that we could honor the Sabbath, by going out and telling others, he shall fail to be discouraged, yes. So God is good. God is very good to all of us. And we should be very blessed to know that the Sabbath day is a day of rest, a day of rest and gladness. I don't think it's very far away, but I could sing a song to bring in the Sabbath. I don't have the, hold on. Yes, I don't have a Sabbath song right at my hand now, but I could sing this one. We would see Jesus, because the Sabbath is there for us to see who. The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. So I would like to sing a few verses of this song, two verses or three. We would see Jesus. We would see Jesus, for the shadows lengthen across the little landscape of our life. We would see Jesus, our weaknesses strengthen for the last conflict in this mortal life. We would see Jesus, rock of our salvation, where on our feet we're set with sovereign grace. Not life, not death, rest, all their agitation can sense remove us, gazing on his face. We would say, Jesus, this is all we're needing. Strength, joy, and willingness comes with the signs. We would say, Jesus, dying, risen, pleading, soon to return and in this mortal night. Okay, thank you, Sister Paula, for opening my line. So we could always try to do good. We could always find time to do good on the Sabbath, even if we do not do on during the week. And we should not wait until Sabbath to do good, because Christ
does
a lot of good on the Sabbath. Thank you, Sister Paula, for my life. God bless you, and have a happy Sabbath, everyone online.
Okay,
thank you.
Thank you, Sister Consonelli, for that song, and thank you for sharing. Yes, we ought to be doing good on the Sabbath. Like you said, also pass our tracts, and instead of being inside, we can go outside also. And if we're having study in a park or in an open area where there's people, I believe people will join too, and they will come and see and come and listen. The Holy Spirit will lead them. So there's a lot that we can do on the Sabbath to let others know about Christ coming, let others know about the Sabbath and about it's time to repent, about the three angels' message, brothers and sisters. We all shouldn't be locked up in the home or on the line on the Sabbath, but if we're getting milk, we need meat. So it might be a time for preparation to study, to dig deeper, so that when we do go out there, we will be able to rightly present the Sabbath. So all these things are a blessing for learning, for teaching, for praying, for healing the sick. We ought to be like Jesus. Amen. So again, thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to share? Please press 1 again. Brother Justin will start on time, so I will encourage you, if you want to share this evening, to press 1. And if we don't get a chance for you to share, please come again and share either Sunday or Thursday evening. But this is the time to share, brothers and sisters, so you can press 1 at this time, so you can share before we go into our prayer. And I just thank the Lord again. I'll continue my reading. It's from Child Guidance, page 536.1. It says, the Sabbath should be made so interesting to our family that its weekly return will be hailed with joy. In no better way can parents exalt and honor the Sabbath than by devising means to impart proper instruction to their family and interesting them in spiritual things. Amen. Giving them correct view of the character of God and what he requires of us in order to perfect Christian character and attain to eternal life. Parents, make the Sabbath a delight, that your children may look forward to it and have a welcome in their heart for it. And not only for the children, for each and every one, the stranger that is within our gate, our family as a whole, we should make the Sabbath a delight. And I was blessed by last week's message. And as Brother Ricardo is speaking about the Sabbath, that we should come in a way so presentable. It's not that I had on my pajamas, but I just had on something that I would wear in the house, you know, something comfortable. And the Holy Spirit, you know, just pricked me, and I just had to go and change. So I just thank the Lord for that, because this is the Sabbath. We're coming to sit at the Lord's feet. The angels veil their face, and they cover, and they glorify God and their reverence. And, you know, I know they don't come any kind of way. They come presentable, you know, before the Lord. And that's what we should be doing, you know, because everything is by faith. We don't see the Lord, but we know his presence is around us. We know that he sees us and he hears us. So let us be presentable, especially on the Sabbath. Amen. So I'll see if there's anyone else who would like to share so that I can open the line so that they can give their prayer request, scripture reading, or testimony. This is sharing time, brothers and sisters, and I just want to welcome you this evening, 272-770. Your line is now open.
Amen. Thank you so much for opening my line, Sister Carla. It's not Sabbath yet, but I'd just like to say my name is Tymeco Preston from Pennsylvania, and I want to say happy Sabbath to all my precious brothers and sisters, and I'm so grateful for another precious day of life. The Lord has taken good care of me and my family. I'm very grateful for all that he does for me. So I give him all praise and honor and glory because he's so worthy to be praised. And I would like to sing a song, if I may. Great is thy faithfulness. And that's taken from Lamentations 3:22-23. Amen. Great is thy faithfulness. Oh, God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with thee. Thy changelessness, thy compassion is in me. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have need is thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter, sun, moon, and stars, and the horses above, join with all nature and manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning. All I have need is thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for the sinner, peace I endure. Thy own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings are more than 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have need is thy hand provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Great is thy faithfulness. I'm so grateful for this precious Sabbath day to read a verse, if I may, in Psalms 100, verse 1 through 5. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord is God, and it is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Amen. Praise the Lord. I thank you so much for opening my prayer line, my precious sister. And my prayer request always is to pray for every single person on this prayer line, all of my beloved brothers and you all up. I lift up Sister Powell, and all of her family, and I lift you up, Sister Carla, and all of your precious children. And I lift up Sister Stephanie. I'm trying to remember everyone. I lift up Sister Stephanie and her precious Jews, KJ and Tasha, Sister Leola, and her precious Jews, Nicole and Travis, and her husband, Brother Ray. And I'm lifting up all my dear brothers, sisters, Brother O'Neill, Brother Akeem. I'm lifting up all my brothers and sisters. I can't remember everybody's names, but I love them, and may God bless them abundantly on this precious Sabbath day. So thank you again. Love you all. God bless. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Sister Tymeka, for that song, and thank you for presenting your prayer request and also for the scripture reading. Praise the Lord. It's a blessing to meditate on the Word of God and to repeat it and to share it and to fortify it in our mind. Amen. Praise the Lord. Is there anyone else who would like to share? I have opened the line for 985-232. Your line is now open. Happy Sabbath. Please check, see if your phone is on mute. 985-232. Your line is open.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Sister Carla. Good evening, sisters and brothers. This is Sister Brenda calling from Houma, Louisiana. Sister Brenda and Brother John. I would like to thank the Lord for his grace and his mercy. I thank him for all the blessings and that he poured upon us. And I would like to read a devotion prayer. Dear God, help us to live the life that is so radical, different from those who do not know you, that even they will glorify your name when you return. Give us opportunities to share your love with others and to serve wholeheartedly the people you have placed in our lives. Allow us to extend mercy to those around us. I lost my page. Oh, it's getting too good. Excuse me, Sister Carla. Let Brother John talk. I'll come back.
Amen.
I'm going to let Brother John talk. I'll come back.
Yes, amen.
Yeah, this is Brother John from Houma, Louisiana. I'd like to say hello to all the brothers and sisters on the prayer line. And I just want to give God the praise as always. And kind of like she was saying just now that like us, like learning to be, like having godly ways and stuff like that and doing God's will is separating ourselves, you know, from the world. And I just hope that sometimes I'm a dreamer, so I'd be wishing that the whole world would do God's will. You know, it'd be wonderful to get everybody in that same frame of mind, you know. That's what I think a lot of times is being a dreamer on that. But I know some people are going to go their direction, but there will be some that comes around and takes a step toward the righteous way of living and that will be saved, as so many has been saved. And I love it when I hear a person has been saved and changed their ways, because I know once I did, it was wonderful. And I could never turn back and never, ever want to turn back. And I just want to say thank God that we do have a merciful God and that teaches us faith and honor and you know, strong will. And there's so many things that the Bible teaches us once we read it. It's just amazing to learn so much and constantly learn and learn. And I'm just amazed. The more I learn, it's the more I want to learn about it. And just want to say, my wife wanted to say one more thing. She had got kind of caught up in a reading ticket. I want to say one more thing. So God bless. Amen.
Amen. change it back to my prayer, my devotional prayer. Okay. Dear God, help us to live the life that is so radically different from those who do not know you, that even they will glorify your name when you return. Give us opportunities to share your love with others and to serve wholeheartedly to people you have placed in our lives. Allow us to extend mercy to those around us. Thank you for giving us a reason to love others. Father, help our life to bring glory to your name, O Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I just want to thank the Lord for my life, that I'm moving forward and still got a lot of stumbling blocks. I just asked for him to help me, and I beg for my pardon in Jesus' name, because I know I have a good ways to go, but I have come a long way. So I just thank him for continuing to work with me. And I'm not trying to take too many steps back. I'm just correcting the ones I have, because I don't want to go back. I chose my husband. I don't even look back, because I have too many sickness behind me. I run forward. Even if I got to fall down, I'm going to get up and keep running. So God bless and keep us in prayer. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Sister Brenda and Brother John, for sharing. Yes, we have to look on to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We got to look forward. We got to keep going. Amen. Exactly what you said. We cannot go back in the past sin, the past mistake, and hatch them up and be depressed and worry about them. If we have given those to Jesus and repented, we shouldn't be looking for backwards but forward to the coming of our Lord. Amen. And for this body to be transformed and be renewed in our spirit, in our mind, and in our body. Praise the Lord. Anyone else who has pressed one? This is sharing time. If you would like to share, please press one so that I can open your line, brothers and sisters, before we go into prayer. And then if you haven't shared, well, you will have to share either on Sunday night or Thursday night, but I don't want to overlook anyone. So I will go ahead and open the line for 518-951. Your line is now open.
Okay, thank you, my dear beloved Sister Carla. I'm a little late on the line. God is good. He's so great. Blessed is Sabbath. In some area, the Sabbath starts, and some it's not. But I just want to give God thanks and praise for what he has been doing with you, my life, and our other brothers and sister life. As we know that the Sabbath is going to be a test, you know, and a lot of people are saying that the Sabbath was made for the Jews alone. But Jesus said in Exodus 31:13, verily my Sabbath you shall keep, for it is a sign between and you throughout your generation, that you may know that the Lord doth sanctify you. And that is Exodus 31:14. And Exodus 20:12 said, moreover also I give them my Sabbath to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctify them. And also in Ezekiel 20:20, and all of my Sabbaths, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am the Lord your God. So God told to show us, the world, that the Sabbath wasn't made for the Jews. The Sabbath has been made, created for all mankind. And my prayer is that, you know, the Lord will help us that we can really keep the Sabbath holy, and also to share with others, to let others, because a lot of people out there, do not know that the seven-day Sabbath is the Sabbath. They are saying that the first day of the week is the Sabbath. So, my dear sister on the line and brothers on the line, let us continue to lift up these individuals, you know. Let us love them and show them the way and lead them in a quick Bible study. And, you know, God will do the rest. Thank you, Sister Carlo, for opening my life. Amen, amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Powell, for sharing. God is good, and he is worthy to be praised. And, yes, he made the Sabbath for all mankind because he created us all. And he's not, he's not going to do for one then he won't do for the other. We are all special, and it's up to us to choose him. Choose ye this day who you will serve. So, brothers and sisters, you have to make that decision. No one can make it for you. Amen? And as my devotion this morning, since no one else has pressed one, I'll read a part of my devotion this morning. I've been so blessed by Desire of Ages becoming one of my favorite books from the compilation. We know there's five of them, but this is becoming one of my favorite. I always go back to the first chapter, God with Us. And this chapter is chapter 9 that I was reading this morning, so I'll just share a part of it. It says, and this is talking about Jesus' mom. It said, at times she waved between Jesus and his brothers, who did not believe that he was the sent of God. But evidence was abundant that his was a divine character. It should have been that he was, okay, that his, H-I-S, was a divine character. She saw him sanctifying himself for the good of others. He brought a pure atmosphere into the home. And that's what we should be like. Jesus, our presence should bring a wonderful, a glorious, present atmosphere into the home. It should be a delight, happy, joy, and peace. Amen. Continue reading. And his life was as leaven working amidst the elements of society. Harmless and undefiled, he walked amongst the thoughtless, the rude, the uncourteous, amidst the unjust publicans, the reckless prodigals, the unrighteous Samaritans, the heathen soldiers, the rude peasant, and the mixed multitude. He spake a word of sympathy here and a word dear. He, as he saw men weary yet compelled to bear heavy burden, he shared their burden and repeated to them the lesson he had learned from nature of the love, the kindness, the goodness of God. He taught all to look upon themselves as endowed with precious talent, which is rightly employed, would secure for them eternal riches. He weeded all vanity from life, and by his own example taught that every moment of time is fraught with eternal result, that it is to be cherished as a treasure and to be employed for holy purpose. He passed by no human being as worthless, but sought to apply the saving remedy to every soul. In whatever company he found himself, he presented a lesson that was appropriate for the time and the circumstances. He sought to inspire with hope the most rough and unpromising setting before them the assurance that they might become blameless, harmless, attaining such a character as would make them manifest as the children of God. Often he met those who had drifted under Satan's control and who had no power to break from his snare. To such a one, discouraged, sick, tempted, and fallen, Jesus would speak words of tenderest pity, words that were needed and could be understood. Others he met who were fighting a hand-to-hand battle with the adversary of soul. These he encouraged to perseverance, assuring them that they would win, for angels of God were on their side and would give them the victory. Those whom he thus helped were convinced was one in whom they could trust with perfect confidence. He would not betray the secrets they poured into his sympathizing ears. Amen. What a blessing. And as I read this, I said, Lord, help me to be like you. Help me to minister to those that I see, those less fortunate, to speak a word of encouragement, Lord, to pray and intercede and to have pity on others, oh Lord. So I just thank the Lord for this wonderful book, The Desire of Ages. Amen. So I'll go ahead and open the line for the next caller that has pressed one. Again, brothers and sisters, if you would like to share a testimony, scripture reading, or if you have a prayer request, please press one on your telephone keypad, which will indicate to me that you would like to share, and I will go ahead and open your line. I just want to welcome all our new listeners. Welcome this evening to Advent Light Ministry. I'll go ahead and open the line for 201-868. Your line is now open.
Hi. Happy Sabbath, beloved. God's blessing, peace, and love to you. I am so excited. I thank you, Sister Carla, for sharing that I came in on the tail end, right, that our mission is to be able to share our good God to all that we come in contact with. And I had the opportunity, as I shared yesterday, I was not, feeling really up to leave my house, just a feeling of peace be still, just to sit and just like, you know, just to embark and just rewind, right? Did not feel the urge to leave my home until, or even to eat anything. I shared that yesterday until it was time for me to come on the health session. And so today I got up early this morning. I was energized. I was filled, right? And I knew it wasn't my strength. I knew that the strength came from my Heavenly Father. And I got up early. I started on my way. I didn't leave my house, but I left my yard, but I came out of the house. I went into, I heard Sister Carla was talking about her garden. So I went into my flower bed and, you know, was digging and was pulling some weeds out. And it was so amazing to me to see there was ants, there was bugs, there were, what's that little thing, the mealworm, and all of those insects are important, right? So I had placed down a cloth several years ago, many years ago, over decades ago, almost two decades. And so I pulled it up because I found out that that's not good for the environment. It's not good for the soil, and it's not good for the animal, right? So the insects, I should say. And so I'm going to use cardboard as opposed to that. So I was doing that today in the yard. And then, I did some of that on and off and stuff because you got to be temperate and get out of the sun a little bit and all of that good stuff. But I had the opportunity to witness from my home, right, to so many different people. And that was a blessing for me. I was even witnessing online, didn't know the person, but I was able to ask that person, are you ready for the big event? And he was like, what big event? I was like, the second coming of Jesus Christ. And he said, oh, I'm trying to. Pray for me. And I was able to commune online with a chat because I had an issue, right, where I ordered something, but it was the wrong thing. It wasn't in the bag. And instead of being upset, which I could, they were so apologetic, I decided, I was like, well, it wasn't me. Through the Holy Spirit, I was able to show them Jesus, right? And so I want you to pray for, his name is John E. Carlos. Pray for him that the seed that has been planted will be blossom. He will think about, you know, are you ready for the big event, right? And he said, what big event? I said, Jesus, Jesus Christ's second coming, right? And we got to get right. We got to get right with him to make sure that we are in his kingdom. So that was one thing that was that started last night about midnight, about 11:50 to about midnight. So we talked to him. So then this morning I got up. And I had some people to come and you know, give me an estimate, and I was praising God again. I said, I know the Holy Spirit has pricked you, my Heavenly Father. He's going to allow you to give me the price that is just right in the name of Jesus. And I witnessed, and he said, absolutely. And I told him about the Sabbath. He said, well, I'll send you the estimate tomorrow. I said, no, you cannot. You know that's the Sabbath of the Lord. Amen. I said, you can send it to me on Sunday. But and he said, yeah, yeah, that's right. I remember you all observed the Sabbath, right? And so that was another seed that was planted. Then I was able to call the franchise. And I know I have about 30 more seconds. I'm going to wrap it up, Sister Carla. The franchise that, you know, send the order and it was wrong. I called the young man. I want you to pray for Jeremiah. And I said, Jeremiah, I ordered something. It happened to me before, but I'm not mad at you. I said, I bring God's blessing, peace, and love because I know that y'all are working so hard. So I just want to let you know that, you know, some of my order was not in the package. However, you know, I'm calling you to let you know. And he said, thank you so much. He said, because many times when the customers call and something, they are mad, they're cussing us out. I said, why would I be mad? I said, life is too short. And I just want to bring you good news. You ready for the big event? Jesus Christ is coming back soon. And he said, thank you so much, right? So he was expecting. He couldn't understand. He was like, you're so kind. I said, Jesus Christ, that's the reason why. Amen. And then I heard a bang on my door. I looked out. First of all, I looked out through my window, and I saw a van, a black van. It was parked on the wrong. I was like, why is she parked in front of my yard the wrong way? And so she walked down to my neighbor. She walked back, banging on my door, and I saw her, and I was like, I opened my window. And I said, hey, may I help you? And she started to tell me what, you know, what she was selling, yada, yada. And she said, oh, my goodness, you look, she said, are you the owner for the house? I said, yeah. She said, you look so young. She said, what? God, what? And I said, it is because of the blessings that I'm getting from Jesus Christ. Once you are connected with him, you will be able to look like you have drank from the fountain of youth. And I gave her a full Bible study about the Sabbath from Genesis all the way to Revelation. And that young lady, her name is Kida. So I want you to write her name down, and I want you to pray for her so that the heart will be pricked and she will be stirred. She said, I'm studying the Bible, but I don't understand it. And I said, she said, well, can we come tomorrow? And I said, no, ma'am, it's the Sabbath. And I explained, and she said, so what? What? She said, I'm studying that. I'm a little bit confused about that because it makes sense that the seventh day is the Sabbath, which is Saturday, but I don't understand why. I gave her facts from Constantine. I told her, write it down, baby, and go and Google. You millennial, you Google everything. And I gave her all the scripture about the Pope, about the mark of the beast, Revelation. I gave her Thessalonians. She said, oh, my goodness. She said, can I call you? I said, yes, ma'am, take my number. And because of the opportunity that I had, the divine appointment, because usually I don't open my door, open my window, I just let them go by. But God allowed me to be able to minister to that young lady that is searching. She said, I don't believe in religion. I said, I'm not telling you about religion. I'm telling you about our Heavenly Father who has gone to prepare a mansion for you. And everything that I told her, I gave her the scripture. I went and got my Bible. I read about the man of sin who is exalting himself. I gave her that, and she wrote everything down. And I said, go and read it. Don't take anything that I told you. And she said, thank you so much for blessing me. I needed that. Amen. So continue to pray. Continue to pray that I will be able to speak a word in due season. And I thank God that because I was studying, because I am reading, I was able to, the Holy Spirit brought all of those scriptures back to me. I gave her about 50 within just a short time. Short time. And so I pray that those seeds will be watered. I pray that my estimate that I will get will be just right like Goldilocks. Amen and amen. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Sister Carla, mm-hmm. for giving me an extra minute. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.
Thank you, Sister Stephanie, for sharing. What a blessing. God is truly good, and he's worthy to be praised. He has truly blessed you, and you were able to minister to others, and that's what we should all be doing. Praise the Lord. So we have, it's prayer time, brothers and sisters. If you did not get to share, please share again. Come and join us Sunday evening at the same time for Last Day Event, and also Thursday for Health Reform Thursday. Please come and share with us if you did not get to share. We will go into prayer, and I will ask Sister Powell if she can open a word of prayer for Sister Stephanie. Prayer requests, Sister Timeka, Sister Leola, Sister Brenda, Brother John, Sister Consonelli, and Brother Eli, and all the unspoken prayer requests, Sister Katie, and Sister Leola and family. So I will open Sister Powell line if she can pray, give us a word of prayer, and also for Brother Justin, who will be bringing the message. Your line is now open, Sister Powell. Thank you.
Okay. Let's pray, my dear beloved brothers and sisters. You can all have a minute in praying for all these names that was requested for us to pray. At this time, let us pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we just want to thank you for this blessed Sabbath day that you have given unto us. Lord, we thank you for your love towards each and every one of us. And we thank you that we can join to bring joy, praise, report, Lord, of the good things that you have done to you, to give you thanks for all what you have done. Heavenly Father, we come, Lord Jesus, this Sabbath, asking you to forgive us of all our many sins. We ask you to wash us, cleanse us, and make us white within. We want to thank you for the plan of salvation. And we want to thank you this evening, dear Lord. Most of the time we are asking. But this evening, Lord, this blessed Sabbath day you have given unto us, 6 days, dear Lord, in toil, 6 days busy doing our work, Lord, busy on the street, dear Father, and you have protected us, you have kept us, and we are here this morning. Some of us go through sickness, Lord, and all different trials, but dear Lord, this evening, you said to us, we must lay all our burdens at your feet. So we come boldly to the throne to lay it to you. Heavenly Father, we present all the various requests, Lord. The names, Lord. We have various names, Sister Tamiko, Lord, Sister Brenda, Brother John, Sister Continelli, Sister Carla, Sister Stephanie, Lord, and Sister Leola. Brother Ray, Brother Rick, Lord Father, Brother Honeel, dear Lord, and many, many, many more, both with our family members, Lord, our daughters, our sons, our grandchildren. Father, we present all these names and requests to you, in which you know them, Lord, by name, and Father, it have been recorded in the book, Lord Jesus, in the most holy sanctuary. So as we present these names to you, Father, we ask you and give you thanks for all the blessings that you have placed upon all of these and requests. And also, dear Lord, new name, Lord Jesus, we lift up our dear Sister Katie to you and the children and Dominique. Lord, we lift up the young lady, dear Father, I think is Tida, Lord, Sister Stephanie, that she ministered to today. Lord, the seed was planted, and we are asking you, Father, you are the reaper. We are the reaper, dear God, but you will be the one, dear Father, to allow the heart of that Sister Katie so that she will, dear Father, accept your truth and also numbers or share so that she can contact. Father, tonight, dear Lord, as this is the night, dear Lord, allow us, dear, that we will gather, when we gather at your table, to listen to your word, dear Lord, that it will be a word to refresh, rejuvenate our soul, and also, dear Lord, for us all, dear Lord, to receive your word, and that we can share with others, and that also lift you up in this time. Bless us, Lord, we lift up the speaker to you tonight. You know everything about him, Lord. Allow the word that he will present will come straight from you. And it will be the light, Lord. It will be truth, Lord. because you said you love to hear when we settle in the truth. And the truth for this time, dear Lord, may be harsh, but the truth is what you want us to develop. So the character of you so we can share with others. We ask you to bless each one of us and also the report, silent report requests to you. You know them. And we ask you, Father, to pour your blessing upon those who all who are listening, Lord, on the YouTube, dear Father, in various countries. We have quite a few countries, Lord, in United States of America, dear Lord. We have even from China, dear Lord. So we ask you to bless those souls and allow them, dear Lord, to come to you, to know you more and have a personal relationship that they can also enjoy the joy that you have given unto us. Bless us tonight, we pray, their every request is, Lord, we please. And we thank you because we have been sharing and we have been telling others, Lord, and also developing our character, build our character to be like you. Bless us, we pray, in Jesus' loving name with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Powell, for that prayer. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I pray that you have your Bible, your pen, your notepad to take notes. Amen. Because we will truly be blessed. I know we've been having some wonderful speaker, and it's such a blessing to bring in the Sabbath each and every one of my brothers and sisters coming together, sitting at the feet of Jesus and learning from each other and encouraging each other. And it's a blessing again to have Brother Justin back on with us. Praise the Lord. If you haven't invited someone, please do so quickly because you don't want to miss out on the message that he will be bringing to us. And the title is The Protocol for Spiritual Health. The Protocol for Spiritual Health. And I will go ahead and open Brother Justin line. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for speaking to us, bringing the message to us today, Brother Justin. Your line is now open. Happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath, Sister Carla. Thank you so much for the invitation. Good evening and happy Sabbath. My brothers and sisters, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you loud and clear. Amen.
Okay, perfect, perfect. And Sister Carla, I just wanted to ask if it's okay for tonight to be a little bit interactive, if it's okay for, I may ask some questions, so is it all right if they unmute themselves if I do so?
Yes, I will. Yes, I will have to unmute them, and they will have to.
Okay.
If they're not speaking, keep it on mute, or they can press one, and I will. You know, those that haven't spoken yet, they can press one, and I can open your line. But yes, that's fine. Thank you.
Okay, perfect. So per Sister Carla's instructions, so if I ask a question, if you would like to answer my question, go ahead and press one. And she can open up your line. That way we can hear your answer. So again, good evening and happy Sabbath, everyone. Again, I'm happy to be here. And as Sister Carla stated, the title of this message is the Protocol for Spiritual Health. The Protocol for Spiritual Health. And I want to start off, first I want to start off with a word of prayer before we dive into this message tonight. So let's go ahead and bow our heads. Father in heaven, we are so grateful for once again bringing us to another Sabbath evening. There, God, we simply ask that your spirit will be present with us tonight, that he will open up our hearts and mind to hear a word from you. Dear Lord, hide me in Jesus. I'm nothing without you. I'm simply a mouthpiece. So I pray that your words will be spoken through me, give me utterance, and that your people will be blessed, encouraged, and instructed in the ways of righteousness. We ask all these things in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so what I want to go ahead and start off with is a verse that all of you are quite familiar with. It's found in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12. It's a famous verse spoken by the Apostle Paul, and it says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now, this is, like I said, is a famous verse, and it's a bit of a controversial verse because, you know, many people in Christendom would claim that Paul here is somehow suggesting that we are to work our way to salvation, that we are saved by our works. But that's not what's being said at all. For in verse 13, he states that for it is God who worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. What Paul is stating that as God has given us the gift of salvation through his son, Jesus Christ, as that gift, that power unto salvation is given to us, it is then on you and I to receive that power. And then choose day by day, moment by moment, to conform to that power, to surrender to that power, to obey the leading of the Holy Spirit as God is both willing and doing his good pleasure in each and one of us. So it is very true. Adventists do not believe in work-based salvation. We don't believe that we can work ourselves into the kingdom. But it also is equally true that you cannot be saved if you do not work with the Spirit of God, if you do not cooperate with God in the saving of your soul. And so, yes, we cannot work ourselves to the kingdom, but without playing our part, it will not happen. And that is what Paul is simply stating here, that there is a collaboration, if you will, a cooperation with the Holy Spirit as we accept the power onto salvation moment by moment, day by day. So, like I said, the title of this message is The Protocol for Spiritual Health. Now, my question before we jump into this is, are there any medical missionaries on the line? Is there anyone trained in medical missionary work? And I'm sure there is at least one. And if so, do you mind briefly explaining to the audience tonight your protocol? How would you go about explaining to someone who is ill or sick how to get well, how to get healthy? What would be your protocol? What would you advise them? So if you want to answer, if you're a medical missionary, go ahead and press one.
Okay, please press one so that I can open your line, or I'm going to open a few lines. And if you don't want to speak, you can keep yourself on mute. Yes, amen.
Happy Sabbath, Justin. I'm thinking about your question, and mm-hmm. I believe that everybody on this line is a medical missionary, and so I wanted to say that first and foremost. Second of all, the first thing that I would do is to be able to share those eight doctors that make house call, right? So I would present to them that new start, nutrition, yeah. exercise, water, sunlight, temperate ear, rest, and trust in God. And that's the way how I would approach it if someone is ill.
Amen. Amen. Powerful. Thank you so much, my sister. So yes, I agree 100%. And you are absolutely right. Everyone on this line is a medical missionary, and if for whatever reason you are not, you definitely need to get on board. But yes, amen, sister, that is exactly correct. We would introduce the laws of health, the eight doctors, and encourage that individual and begin to educate them on the responsibility and obligation of keeping their body in conformity to those laws that God has established. Now, with that being said, we obviously know that if there are laws for our body, there's also a moral law for our soul, for our spiritual health. We know that to be the Ten Commandments. Now, as I am, I would say that I am a relatively new medical missionary. The Lord moved on my heart about a year ago to take on the medical missionary work, and to educate myself in terms of God's eight doctors and the importance of medical missionary work as well in conjunction with the ministry. And so as I was going through a training last year and really understanding these principles, the Lord really showed me something that I thought was very fascinating. And hopefully tonight it can bring a new light to the meaning of spiritual health and how we can approach and achieve this in an intelligent fashion with the aid of the Holy Spirit. And so as I go through this message, you'll see I'll be paralleling maybe a protocol for someone who is ill, but also someone who is spiritually sick with sin. So just follow me. And of course, feel free if you have any questions, go ahead and press one. I don't mind being a little interactive tonight. All right. So here's where we're going to start. Step one, if I'm dealing with someone who is ill, as we know, there are many people out there who have severe cases such as cancer or heart disease or severe cases of diabetes. You don't have to tell them they're sick. But those are the extreme cases. There are many people out there who have underlying health conditions and they don't really know they're sick. Or in their mind, they're functioning just fine, and they wouldn't admit that they have a health issue. You kind of have to, you have to kind of pull teeth to reveal to them and help them see that, hey, you need to lose some weight, or you need to change your diet, or you need to change your life habits, and it's a little bit more difficult. I find the same thing when it comes to sin and sinners. There are many extreme cases out there. If you're a drug addict, maybe you are an alcoholic, maybe you're an adulterer, or maybe you gamble or smoke or whatever it may be. Maybe you're out of the church. That's obvious. It's obvious that you have issues and you're a sinner. But then there are other people who can hide their sins better than others. And so first things first, one thing we need to get straight. Number one, no one has perfect health on this planet. The only person I know who had perfect health was Jesus Christ himself. We all struggle with something in our walk in this health walk that we're in. We're all trying to apply all 8 health laws. Some of us are better at eating than sleeping. Some of us are better at drinking water than exercising. We all have our weaknesses and strengths. It's the same thing in the spiritual life. There are some sins that are more obvious than others. But here's a verse that we all are familiar with that really levels the playing field. It's found in Romans chapter 3, verses 23. It says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." That is a simple scripture, but it puts us all on the same playing field. It doesn't matter if your sin is obvious or if your sin is hidden. The Bible says we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Another scripture found in 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 through 10, it says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." So the Apostle John is stating here that anybody who claims to not have sin, you're automatically a liar. And even worse, you're accusing God of being a liar. Because again, he said in Romans chapter 3, 23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so the first step to your spiritual health, just like the first step to your physical health, is you first must admit and acknowledge and confess you are a sinner. Many of us have been in the church for a long time. Many of us have understood present truth for a long time. Many of us understand prophecy for a long time. But friends, not until the end comes, we all are struggling with something. So first and foremost, we have sins that we are struggling with. But by the grace of God, he will help us to overcome. Amen. So that's step number one. We have to acknowledge there are weaknesses, there are sins that we're wrestling with. Okay? Now, step number two. So if you're dealing with someone who has a disease, they've now confessed to you, "Brother Justin, I want to lose this weight. You know, I have diabetes. I have high blood pressure. I recognize that. I admit it. How do I deal with it?" Well, we find in the spirit of prophecy where Ellen White actually makes this statement. She says, this is actually a Council on Health. I think that's page 90, paragraph 1. She says, "In case of sickness, the cause should be ascertained." I know many of us know this quote. "Unhelpful conditions should be changed, wrong habits corrected. Then nature is to be assisted in her effort to expel impurities and to reestablish right conditions in the system. All right. So we have an individual who's coming to you and saying, hey, I have a health issue. I have a problem. I'm sick. How do I fix this? Well, what do you do? As a medical missionary, you ascertain the cause. What is going on? Why is this disease here in the first place? And again, like my sister just stated, automatically you know that individual must be violating the health laws. That's the reason why disease is there. Now, I just want to make this this point really quick. The difference between how we address diseases in our belief system as Adventists is very much different from the world. Now, the world will teach what I believe it's called germ theory. And then just briefly, what that means is that the medical world in general, maybe not everyone, but in general, believes that diseases are formed from outside of your body. So in other words, cancer kind of just happens and it shows up. Diseases of any kind just happens and it latches onto you. And it has nothing to do with the conditions inside your body. It's only external. That's generally what the medical world views as the cause of diseases. However, when you go to the spirit of prophecy, and even the Bible addresses this, it's a different paradigm altogether. We're taught that disease is actually a response of the body to unhealthful conditions in your body. So in other words, she actually says in the Ministry of Healing that disease is your body trying to correct the unhelpful conditions that's currently present. So when disease show up, cancer, diabetes, high blood pressure, it's actually a symptom, an alarm system, the body making effort to correct something wrong that's taking place in your organs, in your system. So the way we address disease, we don't tell someone to go take a pill. We don't tell someone to go take a shot. We don't tell someone to just go get surgery unless it's absolutely necessary. What we explain to them is that, hey, how is your eating habits? How much sleep do you get? How often do you exercise? Do you get fresh air, clean water, sunshine? Are you temperate? How disciplined are you in your behaviors? We explain and educate them that the reason why the disease is present is because the condition of your life, your body, is out of line with the health laws that God has established for our being, right? All right. So simply put, disease comes from unhealthful conditions, toxins, and waste that's found in your body. Now, is it the same thing with sin? Now, the rest of Christendom will tell you that sin is just something that just happens and we just have to reject it or pray it away. But the Bible says something differently. The Bible actually says sin exists because there's an underlying condition in your heart, right? So in 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, it says, whosoever committed sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law, just like in your physical being. If you're sick, it's because you're transgressing the health laws. If you're sinning, it's because you're transgressing the law of God, the moral law of God. What is the law of God? And Jesus simplifies it in simply breaking it down into two commandments. Love God with all your heart and love your fellow men. So if sin is the transgression of the law, and the law is simply put love to God and love to your brother and sister, your fellow human being, transgressing that law means that you are either not loving God or you're not loving your brother or sister, or both. Meaning there is selfishness somewhere in your life. So let's say you are struggling with, I don't know, gossip. Let's say maybe, and God forbid anyone on this line is dealing with it, but let's say you're dealing with that because we're all human beings, and like I said, we all have fallen short. Let's say you're dealing with gossip, and you recognize that. Step one, you recognize that you are struggling with the sin of gossip. It is a violation of God's law. You are not loving your brothers and sisters by talking about their business behind their back. And you say, all right, Lord, please take this desire to gossip away. Please take away this sin. And maybe for the next week, you don't gossip. But next week, you gossip. You pray again. Lord, please, please, please take away the desire to gossip. But it shows up 2 days later. And you're wondering, what is going on? I'm asking God to take it away. I recognize that it's wrong. I want to do better. Why isn't this not changing? All right, so let's go back to the principles of your body. If disease, aka sin, is showing up, it's because the conditions have not been changed or properly aligned with the laws of God. So if you are still gossiping, if you're struggling with this, the urge is still present, may I suggest ascertaining the cause? Investigate, why are you still bending to this sin? For example, again, you're gossiping. What is the condition of your life? That's what I would ask you. What is the condition of your life? Maybe you are talking to a fellow brother or sister who also likes to gossip. Maybe they call you once, twice, three times a week just to come and share news about brother so-and-so's marriage or sister so-and-so's child who's out the church or this ministry that's doing this or that ministry that's doing that. Maybe they're coming to complain about the general conference. I don't know. Maybe they're just here. That's what they do. They just share news. And they call you three times a week just doing that over and over. Let me ask you a question. Are you putting yourself in the right condition to reject the desire to gossip or even listen to gossip? And I think the answer is no. You see, you can pray that sin away every day, every moment of the day. But until you start working out your own salvation in fear and trembling, until you start conforming to the law of God and saying, you know what? I love that brother, I love that sister, but I'm going to have to start ignoring those phone calls. And maybe not ignoring them. Maybe you need to talk to that brother and sister and say, listen, sis, bro, I hear what you're saying, but this isn't right. This is not honoring God. We are violating God's precepts by doing this. And maybe they will take the correction and humbly say, thank you, brother, thank you, sister, or they'll get offended and leave. But either way, you're doing your part in making your effort to change the conditions in your life. So let's say you are struggling with maybe another sin. And just to be real, by no means am I suggesting anyone on this line may have this problem, but we are real Christians and we deal with real sins. Let's say you're struggling with the sin of pornography. Maybe you're struggling with that condition. Many people in our church, even ministers, deal with this. And so I want to be real with us tonight. Maybe you're struggling with that and you know it's wrong. You know it's a sin and you're praying it away and you're asking God to take it away. But what are you watching on a daily basis? Is the shows you're watching, the music you're watching, is it filled with fornication? Is it filled with lust, nakedness, and all other types of garbage? What is the condition, the spiritual condition that you're placing yourself in on a daily basis? That disease, that cancer, that diabetes will not go away until you change your diet, until you start resting, until you start exercising, until you start getting sunlight and water, clean air, etc. It is the same thing in your spiritual being. These sins just don't disappear. We don't believe in magic. We don't believe in spiritualism. We have to be intelligent about both our physical and spiritual being. What is the condition of your life? What are you watching? What are you taking in? Who are you listening to? What are you reading? What is the condition of your life? I want to share this verse found in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not him. I want to pause there. He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. That's interesting to me. So it's not just this general idea, oh, don't love the world. No, don't even love the things that are associated with the world. We call that worldliness. Brothers and sisters, if you're struggling with a sin, is it possible? And again, this is not condemnation. This is a message for myself as well. This is why the Lord gave it to me. I'm just sharing what the Lord has given. Are there areas, rather, in your life that maybe, just maybe, you're compromising just enough worldliness to where that disease called sin is showing its ugly head. That's all it takes. Are there areas in your life where you're compromising and allowing worldliness to seep in? And again, many of us think, well, hey, I don't watch TV. I don't even have a TV in my house. I don't listen to worldly music. I don't do none of these things. Well, friend, worldliness is much more than just what's on TV and on the internet. It's a number of things. It's a long list in which we can't go through tonight. But if you ask the Lord to identify it, I guarantee you he will show it. And you will realize, wow, I'm still holding on to some worldliness. Let's continue that verse. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of the Father abideth forever. So again, in verse 16, John gives us three main categories that all sin fall under. It either falls under the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life. And so what John is actually explaining to us is in any area of our lives, if we are beholding or compromising in worldliness, the world is going to bring in, that worldliness is going to either bring in the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life. And here, and I love the word of God because it's teaching us to be intelligent. So whatever sin you're dealing with, all you have to do, which category does this sin or sins fit into? And if you can identify that, you know worldliness is in your life or has a hold on you somewhere or some area in your life. I love that. The Bible is so practical. So if you can identify that, if you have the lust of the flesh or the lust of the eyes or the pride, you're dealing with pride of life, that means worldliness is existing somewhere. All you have to do is say, Lord, okay, help me to identify that. Help me to ascertain the cause. Where is this coming from? And then help me to get rid of it. And then you can start your way onto spiritual health. This is powerful, and I love this. All right, so let's say you have ascertained the cause. You've identified where you have compromised in terms of worldliness in your life, and now you want to get rid of it. Step three. So just like in your physical health, after you have ascertained the cause, now you have to deal with that issue. You have to change the conditions of your body. So there is counsel, and I wish I had the direct quote tonight. I apologize for that. But there is counsel from Ellen White where she tells us that obviously we have to get off of flesh meat. We have to leave dairy alone. We have to leave a lot of things alone, refined sugar. We have to start exercising, resting. But she makes a very important point that I want us to consider tonight. There are many of us and many people out there, and by the way, this is not just for us. This is giving us practical knowledge on how to help other people with their struggle with sin as well. So this is not just for us personally. But there are many people who have been on a flesh meat diet for years, their entire life, and you just can't get them off that diet overnight. You can tell them how many parasites, worms, pork as much as you want. They cannot drop it. They're addicted, right? And so Ellen White, with the wisdom of God, has counseled us that for those who are struggling to get off of flesh meat, you should advise them, encourage them to fast. If they can abstain from eating flesh or whatever unhelpful food for a period of time, a day, two, maybe 3 days or longer, then they can regain the power and the willpower to abstain from that. And when it is time, they can start the process of introducing helpful food into the system. So now I believe that we can apply this to sin. There are some sin that once the Lord convicts us, we can drop it and move on. But even Christ says some things come out by prayer and fasting. There are sins in our lives, friends, that have taken deep roots into us, and we can't just drop it. For instance, again, maybe you're struggling with, maybe pornography or just general filth online. You might need to go ahead and take a fast from social media, television, and depending on how bad it is, you might just need to cut it out altogether. again, the Holy Spirit would have to advise you on what you need to do for your specific situation. For me, because I'm in ministry, I have to use social media, but that does not mean I don't take my regular fast. When it's too much or I find myself drifting into worldliness, I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to have to take a day or two, three, break away from Facebook, from Instagram, so I can make sure my connection with the Lord is strong and right. And when I do have to go back, I have the spiritual strength and willpower and discipline to do what I got to do without being drawn back to the world, if that makes sense. And so fasting is wonderful for the person who's trying to get off an unhealthful diet, as well as for the person who's trying to break away from those deep-rooted sins. So we need to consider fasting. Now, the next thing that we're counseled to do is detoxing. And I know the medical missionaries on this line understand the power of a good, solid detox. I've done them myself, and man, you feel light afterwards. Well, I believe that we can also take a spiritual detox. Again, there are sins that are deeply rooted, and even after we have confessed them and we have chosen to abstain, the damage is still there. You know, you still have these filthy thoughts. You still have maybe resentment against your brother and sister, whatever it may be. The damage is still there, and you need, as it were, a cleansing of your mind from these worldly sinful things. So just like in the natural, you would get cleaning agents that we find in food. So you get your veggies, your dark leafy greens, you start blending it up, you start juicing the great way. You get your ginger, your lime, you know, everything you can get. You drink that, it starts cleaning out your system. I mean, it cleans you out. In the spiritual, what are the cleaning agents? Let's go ahead and read Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 through 9. It says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. So if you are struggling with whatever sin it may be, again, let's go back to gossip. The opposite of gossip is positivity, speaking highly of your brother or sister, exalting them higher than yourself. Paul says we should meditate on things of a good report. Gossip is not good reports. So let only lend your ear to those who are bringing encouraging words or good news or praise report about a dear brother or sister or a ministry. Let's talk about the good that our church does, not just the bad. Yes. There's apostasy in the church. Very, very true. But friends, if we hear apostasy all day long, that is quite depressing. And I don't see the instruction here that says that we should meditate on apostasy. We should meditate on good reports. This is still God's church, and he still has faithful servants everywhere who are looking to hold up the standard and hold up the truth that is in Jesus. Let's think on those things. Let's meditate on those things. Let's go to sleep with those good reports. And this is how we detox ourselves from the negativity, the filth, the garbage that is in the world. We meditate on that list that Paul has given us. And so after we go through our fasting, we break away from the negativity, we break away from the sinfulness, and we go through our spiritual detox, and you're cleansed, you're refreshed, you're renewed. How do you maintain it? How do we keep ourselves from going back? Now, after someone who has gone through the detox and they've cleansed themselves of all the impurities and toxins, like my dear sister said earlier, you have to now apply all 8 health laws, all the doctors. It's not just about your diet. It's not just about what's happening, what you eat or drink. You have to talk about your rest. You have to talk about the sunlight. You have to talk about the fresh air. You have to talk about exercise, and you definitely have to talk about temperance, all right? And so by applying these 8 health doctors, not only will it heal you and bring you into better health, but it is the same tools that we have to use to maintain that health so we don't go back to being sick. Now, same thing in the spiritual. After you have broken away from whatever sin that you're struggling with, after you have detoxed yourself with the Word of God, with prayer, holy music, scripture, good, wholesome conversation, you need to maintain that. Now, I've experienced this process myself. I've done this myself, and I've gone through the detox, and I would feel lighter, and I would feel the connection of God much stronger. My mind would be clear, and I would have peace and joy. And I'd realize that, you know, after a week, maybe 2 weeks, it wouldn't last. And I couldn't understand why. You know, I'm better now, but I'm not staying better. And then one day the Lord showed me, just like the 8 health doctors, just the same thing as in your physical being, you must apply all 8. You must apply the entire moral law. It's not enough to just pray and have daily devotion with the Lord. It's not enough to just simply commune with him. Yes, that's important. We have to spend time with Jesus. We have to. Ellen White tells us we need to spend at least one thoughtful hour meditating on the life of Christ, especially the closing scenes. But God has not called us to simply sit down and meditate. He's given us a work to do. The Ten Commandments is not just about love to God, but it's love to your fellow man. And so the Lord had to show me and convict me, like, Justin, you're doing great. You're doing wonderful. But you're not going to keep up that spiritual vitality. You're not going to keep up that spiritual health if you don't go out there and witness. If you don't go out there and preach the word and minister to souls. That's why, and I'm sorry, my sister, I didn't catch your name earlier, but I did hear your testimony before we started the message, and it was powerful. I was smiling from ear to ear. It was a powerful testimony. You were so excited. You were so pumped. It was very encouraging to me. And that's what it's all about. You can maintain spiritual health long as you are connecting yourself with the Lord every day, as well as ministering for souls. I want to give this example. I don't know if my father is on the line, so I hope he doesn't mind me using him as an example. But long story short, my dad has found spiritual health. Let's put it like that. I won't go too deep into his situation, but his spiritual life has improved significantly. And one of the main reasons, he has always had a strong connection with the Lord. My dad loves God. He's always had a strong relationship. But he's realized, and he would admit to you that he was lacking in the ministering part. And so what he's been doing lately is he would buy, me and him would go in together and buy a box of Great Controversies. And we agreed that we'll split it 50-50, we'll split the books 50-50, and we'll start sharing with strangers. Well, listen, my dad has run circles around me, I must admit. He is handing those books out left and right, and I guarantee you, every conversation we have, he is praising God, and he's giving me a testimony of how he met this person, how he met that person. I remember one time he was sitting at a gas station, and whatever person he met, he was just handing out Great Controversies. And I can hear it in his voice, the excitement, the thrill, the peace, the power, the joy that he's receiving in this. And it was such a testimony to me. I've never said this to him, but it's such a testimony to me, an inspiration to me, telling me that, you know, you really cannot be spiritually healthy without witnessing for souls. There's a joy that comes with that. Now, the Bible says, he that watereth will also be watereth himself. And so we have to get out there. We have to love God and love man as well. It is impossible for you to maintain spiritual health and you be inactive. Witnessing is like your spiritual exercise. If you don't exercise, you become weak and feeble. If you don't witness, that spiritual vitality, that spiritual strength that you get in the morning from your devotion with God will soon die out if you don't go outside and exercise what the Lord has given you. What happens when you don't exercise? Start gaining weight. What happens when you don't exercise spiritually? You become a spiritual glutton. All you're doing is taking, 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 and you're not giving, giving as the Lord has given you freely. And you are to freely give. So again, this is not to condemn anyone's physical situation or spiritual, but we're being real and we're being honest. You've got to spiritually exercise. You have to get out there and share what you have. Maybe some of us feel like we don't have enough. Nonsense. The woman at the well had about a 10, 15, 20-minute conversation with Jesus, and she was able to convert a whole town. Don't tell me you don't have enough. If Jesus has done something for you and he has saved you, you have something to go share with someone else. And I'm speaking to myself as well. Do what you got to do. If it's a text message, a phone call, a video, your neighbor, your spouse, your children, your parents, there is someone you can witness to and who needs to hear a word from you. Be like my dear sister earlier. Go out there and do something. She didn't leave her house. The UPS man shows up at your door too. I know y'all are ordering Amazon. So you can witness to the delivery man. There is someone you can reach. So get in that spiritual exercise if you want to maintain spiritual health. And the last point tonight I want to make, with all that I've shared with you, the first step of recognizing the sins in your life and allowing the Holy Spirit to bring it to mind, ascertaining the cause and recognizing that maybe I'm compromising in worldliness, and then taking the necessary steps of fasting, spiritual detoxing, and making sure that you're applying both the law of love towards God and the law of love towards your fellow man and ministering to them. All of that is powerful and important, and I hope you remember these. But all of it is pointless if you do not have the Holy Spirit of God working with you. There's a famous verse in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Paul says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Friends, there are people who can't stop eating pork, not only because they're addicted, but because there's a demon that's associated with that addiction. That is a reality. It's the same thing with our sins. The reason why you can't put that phone down and stop listening to the gossip, maybe the reason why you can't stop watching pornography, maybe the reason why you can't stop cursing, or your temper won't go away, or you have an unforgiving spirit, is because there's an evil spirit attached and associated with that. And friends, you nor I are any match for the devil. Only God, the Holy Spirit of God, can cast out Satan. We need the Holy Spirit to be involved in both our physical and our spiritual health. Here's the beauty that Jesus shares with us in the book of John, chapter 16, verse 13. "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, he shall speak. And he will show you things to come." The Holy Spirit is to be our teacher. I like to say that the Holy Spirit is to be our coach. Medical missionaries can be health coaches. We can coach people into better health. But the Holy Spirit is the best coach out there. He's the best teacher. He's the best instructor. He's the best guide. He is to be your health coach, your spiritual health coach. He can reveal to you that you have sin in your life. And he will. He can help you ascertain the cause. Where is it coming from? Where are you compromising in your walk? He can then help you fast from it, break the power of that habit. He can help you detox with the word of God and with prayer and other things that will help you keep holy things in your heart. Then he can help you abide by the law of God. He can give you power to obey the laws of loving God and loving your fellow men. He will give you the power you need, the words you need to speak to those you need to minister to. The Holy Spirit is your spiritual health coach. You need to depend on him. You need to lean on him. And most importantly, you need to surrender to his leading. One of my favorite verses found in Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 2. "There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." What Paul is stating here is that there is no condemnation if you surrender yourself to Christ through the Holy Spirit. If you follow his leading, his directives, day by day, moment by moment, you will not sin. You will not fall back into those sinful habits. there's power provided through the Spirit of God. You can overcome. And I want to make this point. And I'm not here to make anything dogmatic or anything like that. But I personally believe that you can talk to the Holy Spirit. The Bible, you see clear in the Word of God that the Holy Spirit spoke to the apostles and gave them directions. And I know the Holy Spirit speaks to each one of you. And if he can speak to you, then I can speak back to him. And day by day, I ask him questions. I ask him to give me wisdom, give me guidance, reveal things to me, give me insight. And he answers, he responds. And again, this is just my personal opinion. I think sometimes we don't take the Holy Spirit more personal as we should. Jesus says he's a comforter, like him. If we can talk to Jesus as a comforter, and the Holy Spirit is our comforter, then we should speak to him. Again, that's my opinion. I'm not saying, you know, however you want to pray and communicate with the Lord, that is you. But I think we are living greatly beneath our privileges. God has given us his Spirit, who is God, divine, omnipotent, to counsel us, to guide us, to help us in any need. He's always there in any emergency. Yet we are quicker to call a friend, a pastor, anyone else, than we are to talk to the Holy Spirit about our issue. So I want you to keep that in mind. As you continue your path to spiritual health, you have a coach in the Holy Spirit of God. You need to allow him to instruct you, as Jesus says his job is to do. Christ is interceding for us in the holy place, and the Holy Spirit's here to teach us what Christ has taught us. Let him do so. Surrender yourself to the Spirit of God. And I'm going to end with this last verse in the same chapter, Romans 8, 12 through 14. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Amen. Amen. If you surrender yourself to the Spirit of God, all we talked about tonight, the Holy Spirit can take you through. This was just a taste of what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life and in your heart, and he will do it. You don't have to go find a coach. You don't have to depend on a pastor. Just ask the Holy Spirit. Ask the Lord to grant you his Holy Spirit. And when he does, surrender, surrender, surrender. Listen, and he will guide you. And you too will become a son and daughter of God. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we are so grateful for the message we have received on high tonight on how we can intelligently cooperate with you to gain spiritual health and vitality, Lord. Father God, I know many of us are struggling with a number of different sins that you know, and only you should know. Father, I claim victory over those sins, and I pray that as they go and engage in the warfare against the enemy, that you will give them the victory, the same victory that Jesus has gained for us, the Lord. So, Father God, I pray that the Spirit of God will be with each one of us and give us the power we need to work out our salvation in fear and trembling, knowing that it is you who will and do of your good pleasure in each one of us. This is my prayer, not for ourselves only, but that we can take this information and these principles and help those who are struggling, those who are in darkness and who are trying to fight this battle as well. Help us to be encouragement to them. Help us to be like our dear sister earlier, to go out and minister to those who are in need and need this truth. Lord, the end is coming soon and we need the latter rain. Help us to be cleansed of sin and worldliness so that we may be emptied and ready to receive that latter rain so that we can finish this work in power and go home. I ask all these things in Jesus' holy name I do pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Powerful. Thank you, Brother Justin. This message was truly a blessing. The Holy Spirit was indeed, you were indeed led by the Holy Spirit, because we all deal with different things, different issues. And as we come on this prayer line, we know that iron sharpeneth iron. In Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17, it says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. As we are sharpening each other, let's get out there, brothers and sisters, in the battlefield, but let us put on the whole armor of God so that we can be shielded from the fiery darts that will be thrown at us. But take heed that and be encouraged that this is the work that Jesus has called us to do. And I just want to read something quickly from Desire of Ages. It says, the merciful shall find mercy, and the pure in heart shall see God. Every impure thought defiles the soul, impairs the moral sense, and tends to obliterate the impression of the Holy Spirit. It dims the spiritual vision so that man cannot behold God. The Lord may and does forgive the repentant sinner, but though forgiven, the soul is marred. M-A-R-R-E-D, marred. All impurity of speech or of thought must be shunned by him who would have clear discernment of spiritual truth. But the word of Christ cover more than freedom from sexual impurity. And I'll stop there. It was page 190 from the Desire of Ages, and I read that this week, and that's you were speaking on that topic, the Holy Spirit reminded me of that. And I just thank the Lord because I have heard a message on the Holy Spirit. And, you know, like you said, that's your thought, and we have to dive into it because, you know, I pray to Jesus, and I thank him for his Holy Spirit, but I don't bypass Jesus and go straight to the Holy Spirit because he has left his Holy Spirit as, yes, but the Holy Spirit is for us to use, but I pray to Jesus. So this was a blessing, amen. Powerful. It touched my heart because some of those things that you talked about, you know, the neighbor been going on, and the Holy Spirit led the neighbors to talk and to hatch out things and to, you know, seek him, the Lord, while he's near. Call upon him because we don't know when our calling and election should be. We don't know when we're going home. We don't know when God is coming, and we need to get our slate clean. There should not be no spot or wrinkle upon our character. So praise the Lord, my brother. I thank you very much for that message. It was timely. So I pray that everyone was blessed. If there's no question, if you have a question or a comment, please raise your hand. Press 1 quickly. So if not, I will close with a word of prayer. And I thank Brother Justin. That was very powerful. And I will close with a word of prayer. Let us pray. Kind and loving Father, I thank you ever so much for your message and the messenger, Lord. I thank you for health and strength. Oh, Lord, you said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest from our cares. Rest from sins, oh, Father. Lord, we love you, and we want to serve you with all our hearts, our soul, and our mind. We don't want to abuse what you have given us, oh, Father, our talents. Help us to use it for your glory and not for self, oh, Lord. I thank you again for Brother Justin. I pray that you would bless his family, bless his ministry, oh, Father. Bless each and every one on the prayer line, all the unspoken prayer requests. You know our hearts. You know what we have dealt with through the week, oh, Father. You know the evils that we need to overcome, the cultivated one, the one that we have, it has been brought down in generation, oh, Father. We need to pray and ask you, oh, Father, that the curse will stop with us, that these sins that our forefather did, our mother or father, grandparents did, that it will not continue with us or with our children. We thank you again, and we praise you, Lord. We ask that you will bless us, that we will have a good night rest, oh, Father, and be ready again to hear the message, to intercede for our brothers and sisters, oh, Father, to be a blessing and not to be a curse to others. Bless us, oh, Lord. Protect us and guide us and help us to share what we have learned this evening with others so that they can be blessed and encouraged and we all can be strengthened and waiting for your soon appearance. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Have a good night, brothers and sisters. Jesus loves you. Thank you.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim. Thank you.